I'm now delighted to welcome Richard Guiney, CEO of Dublin Town, to have a chat with us. Richard, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
You're very welcome to Northside today. Now, Richard, when during the week I came up to get the rundown for this morning's programme, and I saw that we were going to be speaking, and the topic we're going to be speaking about is getting people to come back into the city centre, I kind of had I don't know what you might call it, a realisation that I thought, my God, I haven't been in Dublin city centre since January of last year. And I'm supposed that I'm one of the many, many people that would be the same. Would I be right?
Yeah, well, look, obviously we've been in lockdown, so, you know, the kind of numbers in the city have not been what one would have expected. So at the moment, the kind of footfall, the numbers of people who are in the city is about somewhere between, you know, 25 and 30%. So just over a quarter of the number of people that we would have had in the city in 2019. So, you know, we're looking forward to reopening. We're looking forward to welcoming people back. So obviously the big task at the moment is to make sure that we have a safe and welcoming environment for people when they do come back.
Yeah. So you've been in the you've been in discussions with various organisations, Dublin City Council, and so for when the time that hopefully city trade will get back up again. Yes.
Yeah. So we've been obviously speaking to the council a fair bit, the Gardaí, and the various other stakeholders. I think there's more work to be done in that space. I think, you know, unfortunately, we will lose a number of businesses along the way, and we're going to have some vacancies in the city. You know, so it's been a very, very challenging time for the business community. I think there's commercial decisions that have to be made in terms of how do we address, for example, vacant properties. What do we do to recreate the city, reinvent it as a destination in the 2020s and beyond? So I think we'll see new uses. You know, we did have, you know, before the pandemic, we saw that there was less retail, for example, and that was a trend that was going to continue. Now, obviously, COVID has accelerated that trend a lot. So, you know, we have lost a lot of foreign-owned shops. In primarily, they're the ones that have been most impacted, where decisions have been made outside of Ireland to close the Irish operations. So they've been the ones that have been probably most impacted. But we did know that, you know, again, just from research and the way things were moving before the pandemic, that the independent stores, the unique stores, that the kind of businesses that give the city its personality were becoming increasingly important for Dubliners, and, you know, that's reflected in other cities around the world. People were coming back to the more independent and unique stores. So we think that that's going to continue a lot, and I think we're also going to see more hospitality businesses, more restaurants, more cafes, and we believe again more entertainment, more arts, more culture.
Yeah,
and all of those uses.
Yeah, and when you say there's more work to be done, what work would you be talking about there?
Yeah, I think we need to look at, for example, the planning codes that will allow landlords to put in non-retail businesses into what were traditionally retail streets. So, you know, as I say, we're going to have a much more wide and a wider variety of different types of businesses in the city. But I think we're also going to see more people living in the city again. That was a trend that had started before the pandemic internationally. And I think that will mean repurposing buildings to accommodate people living in the city. And again, if you look at basically, you know, what's happened internationally is that the larger the city, the more it has been impacted economically by the the pandemic, because we don't have the kind of residential populations that are out in the suburbs, and people are living in the suburbs, mm-hmm. they're working from the suburbs, and therefore the suburbs, the more rural locations, haven't been hit as hard as the larger cities. So more ground to make up in Dublin city centre. So we really are looking forward to, and the businesses will really need people to come back and support mm-hmm. them. You know, they're going to be in a fragile financial state, so they really will need the support of Dubliners. But we know Dubliners love their city. I think we've a lot to build on there.
Yeah, you've just kind of hit on one thing there, that you'd like to see office workers coming back into the city, because, like, whatever about the man and woman purposely going into the city centre, the office workers might be what you might call your pass and trade as well.
They most certainly are, and that was something that we really noticed in terms of when we did open temporarily in the summer and around Christmas. We really noticed that the footfall impact was felt far more Monday to Friday than it was at the weekends, mm-hmm. and the simple explanation for that is that we didn't have the office workers. I think the maximum we got up to last year was like less than a quarter of the normal numbers of people working in the city. Mm-hmm. And we really missed them. And again, that's something, we're speaking to people in London and we're speaking to people in Paris and Chicago and right around. And they really felt that the people who were working in the city, they'll nip down to Grafton Street or Henry Street and buy something. They'll go for lunch. They'll meet their friends. They might stop off for a pint after work with their colleagues. Mm-hmm. And when they're not there, we really, really did miss them. So, we'd love to see the office workers coming back.
Yeah, but as you said earlier on, the fact that people are working from home, then it's the local shops and the local trade centres. They're getting the benefit of that. That's nice, good too. That you're actually talking to people in other countries and seeing. Am I taking this right? That you're seeing what they're doing regarding getting people back into the city.
Yeah, look, we're involved in a couple of different networks of city centres and larger towns, and we'd swap notes, and there's been plenty of discussion about, again, before the pandemic, there was plenty of discussion about what is the future of cities, how are people going to use cities, etc. The really strong retail element that would have been core to so many cities, and the reason why people came to visit cities at weekends or whatever, that was weakening. We knew we were going to be challenged to come up with new ideas. So that's been a conversation that's been ongoing for a while, but obviously the pandemic has hit the cities hard. So, I think it's never waste a crisis moment. And I think we really want to listen to what people want from the city.
Mm-hmm.
What would attract them to the city, we want to make sure that we do have a city that meets people's needs, for the future.
Yeah. I see here you call for a national working group. Where is that at the moment?
Well, that hasn't actually happened as yet, but we know that, say, for example, in the UK, they have their 10 key cities group, and that's very effective in, just in terms of swapping notes and, sharing best practice. I think the scope here for having, the five largest cities cooperating with each other, we don't compete with each other. Somebody mm-hmm. doesn't wake up in Galway and decide that they're going to spend their day shopping in Dublin or vice versa. So they're not our competitors. We can learn from each other.
Yeah.
So I think there's massive scope for us doing something similar to what they've done in the UK and actually setting up groups formally to share best practices and share notes.
Yeah. What about when companies and stores do get back up, please God? Would you be going looking for, say, reducing rents, overheads and such like that to give them a chance to get back going?
I think there's going to be a need for continuing support for businesses when they come back. I think the government can't turn off the kind of supports that they've given. It'll take a while, I think, for businesses to get back up and running. Mm-hmm. In terms of rents, you know, there are some deals being done and sideline deals and temporary arrangements being done by some of the more progressive landlords, and I think that's highly appropriate, and I think I'm glad to see it. But in the longer term, you know, we need those same landlords to invest in the city. They're the people who will develop the city and do the things that we talk about, repurposing buildings, building new buildings, you know, and doing that kind of stuff. And therefore, they need a certain level of rent so they can go to banks or investors and get the money to do that. So it's one of those. It sounds very simple that, you know, we'll have low rents forever and that'd be great. Well, actually, you know, the money needs to come from somewhere to invest.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit more complex than that. But like certainly in the short term, I think the more progressive landlords have been working with their tenants. I think that will continue until they return to financial strength, which I think will happen. I mean, you know, the key thing for us is to get our businesses from, you know, this vulnerable stage to a year out, because we do know that the economy hasn't completely collapsed. There's still people earning good money. There's a lot of savings that have been built up over the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we're not in a, you know, that it's a funny situation that the businesses that are customer facing, you know, the retail and the hospitality, they've been hit very hard, but other sectors of the economy have done quite well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do think that if we can get businesses to the point where, you know, they're trading this coming Christmas, I think, you know, we'd be over the worst of it. And I do think that, you know, with the vaccines coming on board, etc., that, you know, by September, I think people will be, they'll be more confident about going out. And I think that, you know, they'll hopefully, you know, they'll cherish what they've missed over the last year or so.
Yeah.
And that ability to actually come in and talk to real people and engage and, you know, maybe stop off for something to eat or have a pint. You know, I think they'll really appreciate that.
Understand that, yeah. Now, getting the buying public back into the city centre, you mentioned transport there. What would you like to see happening regarding that transport?
Yeah, look, transport's a really important issue for us. You know, before the pandemic, we would have had in the core city centre about an average of 300,000 people a day. And they don't live in the city, so they have to come in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 2/3 of the people would have used public transport to get into the city. Now, we know from Monday that basically the public transport will be at 50% or half of what it would have been able to do before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think we need to start increasing that. And, you know, I think we need to be looking at other countries that haven't restricted their public transport. You know, so I think we all can't come in by car and it just isn't enough space in the roads. So I think we need to start looking at public transport. But I think it's something, again, before the pandemic, we would have been saying, look, you know, to get the kind of volumes of people in and out of the city efficiently, we did need to have things like the metro or the DART underground. You know, the things that carry tens of thousands of people every hour. And we need to do that. And I think, you know, we need to be a grown-up society and we need to provide better public transport. So all of those things are going to be important. And I think we need a more welcoming pedestrian environment when people come in, because ultimately when people are in the city, they walk around. So we, you know, we need to have a more pleasant pedestrian environment. Mm-hmm. And I think we can do things like, you know, more planting, which is good in terms of soaking up carbon and helping with the greenhouse gas emissions. We can have, you know, it looks, the you know, planting looks nice. It creates a better environment for people to walk around. And I think we do need to do more of that, more and not merely pedestrian streets, but pedestrian zones, spaces where, you know, people, young kids can feel confident about walking around and they're with their kids. And we tried that last summer and it was great. And it was great to see. kids yeah. running around the city streets.
Brilliant. It seems to me that it's time now to sit down with the likes of Dublin City Council, Dublin City Council, Dublin Bus, and work on ways of getting people to come back into the city centre. Whether that would mean, okay, you're going to have to increase the amount of transport into the city centre, but maybe looking at some way of a weekend of Dublin Bus might not like me saying this, but maybe a weekend of no price for coming in. It's a free travel for a weekend or something like that.
I think we need to be very imaginative in terms of encouraging people back to the city, and we need them back as soon as we can, because the businesses will really need them. And I think there's definitely scope for a grown-ups conversation about, what do we want the city to be, and what do Dubliners want their city to be. And I think that's a really important question. And that'll involve the property owners as well as the traders and the public. But that conversation has to happen. And I know that, again, from talking to other cities around the world, that those conversations are happening. And I think if Dublin doesn't have it, if Dublin doesn't reinvent itself, we could be left behind. And that will make it much more difficult for us to encourage in, the foreign direct investment, the big companies that we rely on for so many of the jobs here. So I think we're not doing it. And by not doing it, I think we're creating potentially much bigger problems for ourselves in the future.
Absolutely. Just as a matter of instance, Richard, how long have Guyanese been operating up along Talbot Street and North Earl Street?
Well, I have to say, I'm not one of those.
Oh, you're not one of them?
No.
I beg your pardon. Oh, my God.
No, but, okay, so in terms of Guyanese and Dennis Guiney would have been a cousin of my grandfather's, but I think they came to Dublin. They were from Kerry originally, but they came up to Dublin in the early 30s, and Dennis opened up his first shop, which is the Guiney & Co. on Talbot Street.
Yeah,
I think in around 1933,
Then
he bought Cleary's in 1941, which was the big move for him.
Yeah,
and the Guineys, Michael Guiney's, I think set up in the 60s, and Michael would have been a nephew of Dennis. He would have set up in the 60s there in North Earl Street and Talbot Street.
Right. Well, you might not be one of them, but it's in the blood.
It is.
It's in the blood.
We're distantly related.
Absolutely.
I say, they were very progressive retailers in their day, it has to be said.
Some Dublin people might say to you, you didn't lick it up off the street.
No, I've grown up in, and my mother's family would have had shops in the city as well. What goes on in the city has been, I was raised on it was a topic of conversation as a child.
Richard, we're going to leave it there if you don't mind. And thanks for joining us here on Northside today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
All
and please God, we'll talk to you again, okay?
Absolutely.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.